He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
The reading for today is from Mark chapter 12. We're going to look at this story. Jesus has entered Jerusalem. He's now having some interactions with some of the people, some of the teachers of the law, some of the crowds. And we have one of those here in Mark chapter 12, verse 38 to 44. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in their flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at the banquets. They devour widows' houses. For a show, they make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Well, many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came, put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Jesus is in Jerusalem now, and he is warning them about the people that are they're kind of looked highly upon in this holy city in Jerusalem. The teachers of the law, that is the law of Moses. This is the first five books of the Bible. These teachers, these people who are really good at telling us what God wants and what he's described for us and what he's supposed to do, and they are looked highly upon. This is the Holy City. This is where people migrate, they make long seasonal journeys for a holiday trip. So not necessarily a residential move, but sometimes it turns into that. But they would make long trips for these different holy days, and they go and see these holy people, these teachers of the law, and they were seen well upon. They looked well upon them. They were seen with high esteem. Everyone looked at them. I mean, they were like, they would get to know them. They would know their names. And they would just like, they would just put them up on a pedestal, right? They knew who they were. And so, of course, they lived it up. They dressed for the occasion. They made sure that they looked good. And so I can just imagine like people going up to celebrities, seeing them going, "Oh, look at him. Oh, he's dressed nice." Going up to the teacher, "Oh, I love your flowing robe. Who are you wearing? Is that wool or is that camel hair? Oh, and the dyes. Oh, that's amazing. Where'd you get that from? Animal? Vegetable? Mineral? Like, where'd you get those colors? I have to know." Like, you can just imagine like the interviews going on, right? And of course, they have the most important seats wherever they go. And chances are, as well esteemed as they were, they might have even gotten an appearance fee, you know? Like, hey, we don't just want them here. We're going to dish out some money to make sure they get here. And maybe they're on, like, all the latest talk shows, you know, to promote what's going on, you know, like the Great Judean Baking Show, or maybe their latest movie, you know, The Eternal. You know, it's the same message as they give every Sunday. It's about that one supreme being who's been with humanity since creation. And so, but you know, now they got this new show. So these people, they have like celebrity status, right? They narrate the best stories. They display the best way to live life. And everyone knows them, knows who they are. But yet what Jesus says about them walking around, looking all fancy, everyone looking, "Oh, hey, look at that, look at that." Everyone kept asking, "Why are you dressed up today, Tim?" And I said, "It's an object lesson." Coley said, "You doing a wedding today?" But this is what they did. They wanted to look the best. They knew people were looking at them, and they made sure everyone knew why. But Jesus says, they are devouring the homes of the widow. I just realized I just knocked this off. Let's see if I can fix this so my voice isn't too tinny. There we go. All right. So they would devour the homes of the widow. And I found myself, now that's an interesting phrase. That's interesting. What is it? Like, I've heard phrases like, eat someone out of house and home. Like, that was a phrase my parents used for me when I was a teenager, right? Like, but like, even that phrase was like, you know, if you're visiting someone and you demand so much that you use up all of their resources, like first impression reading that story about Elijah, right? Wait a minute. They only have a little bit of bread and oil. Why are you telling them to bake that for you? Like, they just said, we're going to starve, and all we got left are these sticks. And so they're devouring the homes. But I wonder, you know, what does that look like? Maybe it's not just eating them out of house and I'm taking their last morsel. Maybe there's legal means to devour house and home. You know, like when they come and perform a religious service, what if they're charging by the hour for when they come? Adds a whole new look at why Jesus critiques their lengthy prayers. You know, everyone wants to get paid if they're putting on a show. But, you know, in the last year or so, we Mainers have learned a little something about the devouring of homes. One of the growing concerns of the past year has been about this housing bubble that is happening, right? And this wondering of, why are all these homes being bought up in Maine? Are they actually looking to live in Maine? Are these people who are just, you know, outside looking to buy their vacation homes or their work-from-home homes? Or, you know, the we're just going to hold on to a little bit and sell it later homes. They're investment homes. And, you know, it seems the homes throughout southern Maine have been gobbled up. They have been devoured. And I saw this concern also a few years ago, before the bubble that we're in right now. There was a lady who worked for me in the child care that I was running who had made it to her 80th birthday. And she still worked part-time with us. And I thought, when are you going to retire for good? But she wanted to keep working. But one of the reasons she had to keep working, even part-time, was she said, you know, the property tax in my home just keeps going up. It's so hard. She was a widow on a fixed income. But she realizes her expenses, particularly property tax, are still going up because the housing value is still going up. Her home had been paid off, but as a widow on Social Security, one of the things she struggled with was that property tax. And so when the property values continue to rise and the taxes then continue to rise, man, I can only imagine what she's going through right now. But I start to understand what Jesus is saying when he warns about the widows having their homes devoured. There are perfectly legal means by which homes are devoured. There was a news program I saw a few years ago about the plight of some residents on an island off the coast of Florida. And these people had lived there all their life. Their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents, they had all lived on this island. In fact, they could trace their lineage, their genealogy, to the Native Americans who lived on that island. And so they had always known this place as their home. But what happened, of course, is some real estate developers really liked that island, convinced some people to sell their homes. And then they put up these lavish homes on this island, and all of a sudden the property values on this island just spiked. And one of the concerns that was shared in this news coverage that I saw was that these people who had lived here all their life, and they were not people of great means, but they had lived there all their life, and what had happened was their property values had spiked so high because of what outsiders had imposed upon the valuation of their property that they were being priced out of their homes because of the property tax. I don't know the full details of what Jesus meant when he said they devour widows' homes in verse 40, but it seems that people in influence have been devouring the homes of those who don't have the means to keep them, that it has been a strategy for a very long time. And Jesus has a word of warning to those who parade around like they've got the privileged position and even boast about being on the correct side of all things pertaining to faith, all the while taking advantage of those who don't have means. He warns that they're going to be punished. He doesn't go into detail about the punishment, just that it's severe. And we've already heard him warn about what happens when someone gets in the way of a little child who wants to get to Jesus. He says it'd be better if they wore a millstone around their neck. Remember that one? It turns out when Jesus speaks about the least among us, he not only holds up children as an example, but also the easily manipulated poor in our communities. People like this widow. And so in Cape Elizabeth, if we run into issues where one of the concerns is, do we have ways in which we can help those who are disadvantaged make sure that they have homes, or are we more concerned about property values? All of a sudden, this verse kind of speaks in new ways. And Jesus, I wonder if he got the idea of this widow by looking in the courts and seeing just such a woman going to give her offering. In this outer court of the temple was where the vast majority of people would go for their offerings. It was called the women's court, or the outer court, because that was as far as the women and the Gentiles went to be able to give their offering. And so they had various, like a dozen different offering areas in which they could go and they could place their offering. There was a lot of movement, a lot going on there. You could always see when someone went and took something to their offering, to the offering place, what they called the treasury here in this scripture. And so they could see the people who walked up and were obviously people who had means, and they would go and they would place their offering. But what he sees in this widow is someone who gives the last of everything that she has. It may even be that she doesn't know where her next meal is coming from. All of her money is gone. If anything, it's just leftovers. Jesus could have used this as an example of all kinds of things. He could use this as an example of a lack of prudence, of poor financial planning. But instead, he lifts her up as a symbol of faithfulness. In fact, he says, she gave more than what the rich people give. And now, not that her giving was just more valuable or more meaningful. Yes, of course it was that. But he literally says, she gave more. You see, God's understanding of how much we give does not match the way that we tend to understand giving, right? We give out of an abundance. I know whenever I've gone to like a theater show and you get that like that program of what the show is and who the actors are, always on the back too is always the list of the donors, right? The people who've kept the theater company alive. You've got your regular donors. You've got your honor roll donors. You've got your foundation donors. And you can have your name on there, and it's great. And everyone gets to see which tier you hit. I mean, you could right now find your favorite YouTuber or content creator, and they're sure to direct you to their Patreon page, a page where you can give and you can be listed as one of their donors. And there's all kinds of tiers based on the size of your donation. And if you wanted to know about the largest donors that are out there in our world today, just go back to your alma mater and look at the names of the buildings, and you can get an idea of the donations and the donors. We know all about donations. We have an abundance of names, tiers, valuation prizes, benefits, cool perks that go right alongside donations and giving. But God says, this widow, who only had two pennies to give, she literally didn't even have two nickels to rub together. This lady somehow, in God's eyes, gets at the top of the donor list. She's at the leaderboards. She knew this was all she had, but she was willing to give. And for God, it was more than enough. This passage is a passage that, yes, is about giving, but also isn't about giving. This is not just a passage about, now let's talk about how much money you just gave in the offering plate or something like that. No, this isn't that kind of story at all. This is a story about what we offer to God. This is a story about who we are before God and how we place ourselves before Him before we place ourselves before anyone else. And that this lady is able to gives out of everything that she has to Him. And this is what God looks for, that we would be willing to say, what I have is yours, God. Everything that I have is for you. It's a way of also recognizing that we don't come to say, I don't have enough. And not just enough money, enough anything. I don't have enough knowledge of the scriptures, or I don't have enough practice talking about my faith, or I don't have enough friends to talk about with my faith, but I don't have enough whatever the case is. God says to each one of us, like he says to this woman, this is enough. You are enough. If you offer to God exactly who you are, with what you have available and how God has made you, that will be enough. And if it's everything for God, that's the top of the leaderboards. That's it. That's awesome. And so this woman Jesus points to and says, we're not looking at how much people give. We're not looking at how much people have done. We are looking for, have you made yourself fully available to what God wants to do in your life? And if you make yourself fully available to what God is going to do, that will be enough. For God's Holy Spirit is with us and works through us. And God's Holy Spirit also can multiply and do so much out of what little we might be able to have and to give to the Lord. And so this morning, as I look at this story, my hope and my prayer is that we would find ourselves saying, okay, God, in whatever avenue, whatever moment we have in life, in any interaction, that we would say, okay, God, who I am right now and where you've put me, this is enough, and this is my opportunity. That each life that enters our space, that each day, we would be able to say, okay, I don't know what I have to give for you today, Lord. I don't know what you're going to bring before me, but this day is given over to you. That each day we would be able to say, God, whatever I have is yours. And let's see what you do with this offering. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, it is my hope today that we hear this passage and we see, on the one hand, that you have not forgotten those who are still struggling today. And that, Heavenly Father, your eyes remain on them and you care very deeply for them. In fact, you have harsh words for those who would take advantage of or take away from those who have hardly anything. But Heavenly Father, also, you lift up indeed the sacrifice of this one. And so in the same way, Heavenly Father, you have invited us to live in that kind of open trust and faithfulness to you, that you are the God who provides for each of our needs. And we just need to give ourselves over to you, and you will be with us, and you indeed will bless our lives with your presence and with your work, with your Holy Spirit, who will do so much more than we can even ask or imagine. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that promise. It is my hope today that we see indeed the abundance of your grace that loves us just where we are, and the abundance of your grace that invites us to be just as extravagantly lavish with how we are gracious to our neighbors, to the widows, to the children, to the poor among us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, again for this passage and this reminder. May we know that you are the God who is still with us and leading us. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.